This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
That's right, Joy listeners. You're listening to Lefty Pinkos on Joy 94.9. It's Brian here, and I'm joined by Emma.
We have to get
that intro changed. I've actually put in a bit of a note to our producer to say, hey, it's Kath's bowed out of the show. Emma's here, but you're back, yeah?
I am, and it was nice. So I got to tune in last week. I was up in Sydney, and it was nice to hear Kath one more time. Like she said, she might be back in the future, but it was nice to hear her again.
And Emma, did you put the Sin City or Sydney?
No.
Really? It was a bit staid, was it?
It was. I was there for work, so it wasn't too exciting. But I did, on the weekend, make sort of plans to go back for a long weekend with some friends soon, so might put the sin into Sin City then.
Oh, well, I'd like to hear about that if that's the case. But I guess speaking of sinful, though, this is not a segue, actually, but this week on Lefty Pinkos, we've got a fabulous guest in, a man by the name of Jacob Boehm, who I'm going to fess up and say, look, he's a really dear friend of mine. He's an Aboriginal man from Kaurna and Noongar country, which is in South Australia. And he's a choreographer, a dancer, a puppeteer who knows how to make an inanimate object move beautifully. And he's an actor too. And actually, I just remembered thinking about him today that we actually were acting in a show together. We treaded the boards or treaded the street, as the case was. That was the stage. We might talk about that later on. But yeah, like, he's a very dear friend of mine, Jacob Boehm. And so I'm a bit excited that he's in, I guess, this week with Lefty Pinkos. But he's been announced as a bit of a winner or a recipient or a involved in a program called the Accelerate Program, which is pretty much like a cultural exchange program where Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander artists or creatives are given the opportunity to go to London or to the UK. It's a British Council-funded program, and Jacob's a recipient of this year's program. There's four people. We'll have a bit of a chat about them. So we're going to chat to Jacob about, I guess, his practice, his identity, his art, and this potential with the British Council's Accelerate program. And we're also going to, I guess, patch in and call Kimberly Moulton, who is a cultural warrior, I guess I'd probably call her. She works at Bundjalaka Aboriginal Museum at the Melbourne Museum, but she was a recipient of last year's Accelerate program. So we're going to get her on the line and see what she thought of the program, what she did in the UK, and see if she's got any advice for Jacob here, who's going to join us for Lefty Pinkos this week. So are you excited, Emma?
I'm very excited.
Yeah, I am too. And I guess Jacob's picked some great songs, hasn't he?
Yes.
Yes, we're kind of commenting going, you had to think about that one, didn't you? Yeah. No, like, it's some great songs. We kind of just said, yeah, nice work on the music, Jacob. So he's picked some great tracks for us. And I guess the first one that he wants to play is something that's very camp. It's it reminds me of the 80s, and it reminds me of my uncle. He brought home this CD once. I think it was a tape maybe, but it's Yaz with The Only Way Is Up. You're with Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
That's right, you're with Joy 94.9, and that was Yaz, a special request from Jacob Boehm, our special guest who joins us in the studio this week. How are you going, Jacob?
I'm well. Good evening.
Great song request. And actually, there's a story behind that, isn't there? Like, tell our listeners what the story is behind The Only Way Is Up.
Yeah, well, I had to put that in because that was the song that was playing the first time I went to Club 397. So I don't know if you remember that or listeners remember that. Club 397 is now where the RMIT bookshop, I think, is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I was very sneaky. I was 14 years old.
Oh, there's no police listening.
No.
These were back in the days. It's a long, long time ago. Yeah, I'd saved my pocket money and I picked the date and I went to Club 397 and they opened the double doors and Only Way Is Up was playing. Yeah, it's a good memory.
Yeah, it's a great memory, great song. So, yeah. It's what was going on at 397 anyway? Tell us a bit about that. Oh, I call it a 397. I mean, you're 14, so you must have been bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Oh, yeah, and when those doors opened and the song was playing, because that was my favourite song at the time, and I just went, oh, I'm home. So, yeah, it was the first experience I'd had of a nightclub, of, like, a gathering of fags and dykes. I was just like, whoa! It was wonderful. It was wonderful. It's a very different to, and I'm sure people that are older than myself would probably say it, but it's very different to what the scene is now.
Yeah,
it was camp. There's not so much camp anymore.
Yeah, it's also a bit subdued. I mean, it's not
a bit
as,
all footballers' wives, really.
I guess that's like the wags are out on the red carpet without the red carpet. But. So when did you find? When did you realise you were gay, though? Like, yeah, you're 14 when you went out, but
14 when I went out. I was about 12 when I came out to my mum. Too? No.
Oh, no, I'm just saying. No.
Yeah.
I was much older when I came out to my mum.
I was about 12. I bolted out of the gates. I knew long ago, I think it was probably kindergarten. You know that song they do, The Farmer Picks a Wife, The Farmer Picks a Wife, Hi-O, the Dairy-O, The Farmer Picks a Wife? Yeah. The little boy in kindergarten picked me as the wife, and I went, yeah.
That'll work, yeah.
So I had to pick the child, and the child had to pick the dog. And
I guess we're going to have to actually break for some announcements. But before we do, I mean, just how do you describe yourself? You're a gay man, obviously, but tell us about your cultural heritage.
Well, I'm of mixed heritage. My father is Noongar and Kaurna from South Australia. So Noongar country is the York Peninsula. You know that little boot that hangs off Adelaide?
Yep.
Yep. That's where Noongar country is. And
it's
Kaurna
like
country.
Italy, isn't it? Or it the is. Italian of the South Southern Hemisphere.
Little Italy. And Kaurna country is basically the Adelaide Hills of Adelaide. He's also a Finnish. He's also got Finnish heritage, and mum is, you know, stock standard fifth generation Australian from English Irish mob.
Yep.
Yeah. Couple of convicts in there.
Yeah. Well, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Lefty Pinkos. It's Emma and Brian here, and we're chatting to Jacob Boehm, a man of mixed heritage. Most interestingly, though, Kaurna and Noongar heritage. We'll be chatting to him after these announcements.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
That's a rather reflective little moment there, isn't it? You're listening to Joy 94.9 Lefty Pinkos. That was Roberta Flack, a remastered version of The First Time Ever I Saw Your Face, a special request from our special guest, Jacob Boehm. Why Roberta?
Oh, she's a goddess.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was a bit love songs and dedications.
It was a bit. Like I had to put on that kind of smooth. Yeah. So this is going out to...
It's going out to Stephen.
Is it?
Yeah, my mulliger.
Your mulliger.
Yeah.
Actually, that's a very distinct term, mulliger. Do you want to explain to our listeners what that means?
Oh, mulliger. I mean, I suppose we all use it like nationally now, but it originates from, I think, Larrakia mob up Darwin way. But everybody uses it now. It's like, you know, my mulliger, my man.
My man, yeah.
Yeah, he should be home listening. Hello, darling.
Jacob, why don't you, like, we've touched on your heritage a little bit. Brian said in the intro that you've just been the recipient of an award. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got into the arts? I mean, it's quite broad, I think, what you do in terms of dance and choreography, puppeteering. How did you get involved with all of that?
Yeah, it sounds like jack of all trades, master of none. probably the case. How did I get into the arts? Well, I'd always had a passion for it. I used to be the kid in the family that did impersonations, and that was always encouraged. But then, yeah, it all sort of happens around 14. I'm going to nightclubs and all this carry on and getting in trouble at school. And it was a social worker that the Hobson's Bay Council at the time had appointed to the troubled juvenile that said, well, no, he's actually not troubled. He's just bored. So he took me off to a theatre company, like a community theatre company that was running outside of Footscray Community Arts Centre. It was run by Donna Jackson and Genevieve Oh, what was her name? Genevieve Searle? I can't remember. No, no. Anyway, so it was a theatre company that I'd go to after school and learn how to act. And that's how it all kind of started. It was at Melbourne Uni. I was a student there, and Aunty Carolyn Briggs, a local Boonwurrung elder, she was managing the Koori Student Liaison Unit at the time, and she called me into her office and said, "You're not really getting into this, are you, bub?" And I was like, yeah.
She's like that, yeah, just straight out, to the point.
Exactly. So she said, "Have you heard of NAISDA?" Which NAISDA is the, it's a mouthful, National Aboriginal Islander Skills Development Association. It's the our country's longest-running dance institution for Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander artists. She said, "You heard of this?" I said, "No." And so she got me straight away to fill out an audition form. Within a month, I was auditioning in Sydney, and within 3 months, I was there and I'd begun my dance training. And then, yeah.
The rest, as they say, is history, yeah?
Yes,
yeah. And when did puppeteering come in? Because it's a nice little, I mean, you've got the body movement thing and the acting stuff, but puppeteering, it's a bit of a like a left of field thing. When did that come in and how?
Yeah, it sounds like a left of field thing. It was, I was volunteering at Polyglot Puppet Theatre probably about 2003, I think it was, and the company's artistic director, Sue Giles, she was doing a development of a new work, which was dance and puppetry put together. And because we'd gotten to know each other in the office, she said, "You're a dancer, aren't you?" And I went, "Yes." And she went, "Well, come on in here." And it was a show about identity. It was a kid's show, but it was a show about identity, but mainly told through clothing and how children relate to items of clothing that... and so there was bags
like
and bags.
Like a security blanket type thing or something almost.
Well, yeah, yeah, kind of. And how clothing can sort of... It starts to...
Become your identity or assert your identity in that way, yep.
Yeah, so there was bags and bags of clothes and she told me to just rummage through and pick something up. And then she started to tell me, "Now, get it to walk." And I had this little matinee jacket, right? This little woolen sort of Azaria Chamberlain matinee jacket in my hands. And she's like, "Now, get it to walk." I'm like, "Which way?"
Like, so make it running from a dingo or something.
Yeah. I know. Shut your mouth.
I didn't say that.
So I'm doing all that. And then she started just talking me through trying to give it a personality. And it was interesting. I can't continue. You're terrible.
I know. I don't know where that came from. Bad Brian.
Bad Brian. Yeah, so it ended up being an extension of dance because you do have to have some form of spatial awareness to be able to operate something outside your body. Yep. Like a man, nah.
Oh, goodness. We're going to have to put announcements on. We're chatting rather irreverently, I must admit. I do confess I'm terrible. It's Brian and Emma here, and we're chatting to Jacob Boehm. We regress, and we're like this, Jacob and I, but, you're with Lefty Pinkos. We'll be back.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Hi, you're back with Lefty Pinkos on Joy 94.9. We're here with Jacob Boehm tonight. I just wanted to ask you, I think have started up your own dance company.
Yes.
Can you tell us, I mean, how did that come about?
Idja Dance Theatre. Well, it came about because I'd been working Sydney, I'd been working remotely and interstate, and every time I came back to Melbourne, my home state where I was born and raised, it just always seemed to be a struggle. There was no kind of Indigenous dance presence here, or an acknowledged one anyway. I mean, there was plenty of us here, but there wasn't any kind of formal network or even acknowledgement that it was going on. So Idja was founded out of a need that we had some kind of formal presence, and then with that we're able to advocate for a more supported network.
And what's IDJA mean?
IDJA,
is it an acronym? What is it?
You know, IDJA is skin in Noongar.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it's a Noongar word.
Yep, no, because I just thought, you know, maybe it's IDJR, like Indigenous Dance.
Jacob. No. And not as narcissistic as that. No, it's my father's language. It means skin. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I want to bring us back to Annie Carolyn Briggs, because she's somebody that actually kind of gave you that push for getting into NASDA and dance as an art form. But she's actually somebody that's featured in your career. And I'm thinking of Luan, the production that you did for the Melbourne Indigenous Arts Festival 2 years ago. It was part of the first ever festival that was presented here in Melbourne. But it's a beautiful, I mean, I guess, yeah, tell our listeners about it, because it's a beautiful Boonwurrung story that Annie Carolyn has given you permission to present. Yeah, tell us about Luan.
Luan, yes, it's a traditional Boonwurrung story. So the Boonwurrung of Melbourne, which are mainly situated between Werribee River and Wilson's Prom along the coastline there, that's how, where their country stretches. It's a traditional story. It revolves around men's initiation and law. And Luan is considered, he's in other southeastern Victorian stories creation as well, stories, creation yeah. stories. Yeah. In the Boonwurrung story, he was the first man to receive law from Bunjil, who is the creator spirit for the Kulin, who is a man but travels as an eagle. And, yeah, he follows this. Bunjil picks out a feather and hypnotises Luan and leads him all across country to learn about it, and takes him to the twin peaks of Mount Oberon, where Luan received law. And see, this is where I think elders are very clever, because it's been Aunty Carolyn and Uncle Larry Walsh, a Tunnurrung elder, who have been very present in my life for about 21 years now. And see, I reckon they know what they're doing, because she sent me off to dance, and then many years later, it was, now, you've got all this knowledge, I want you to do this. Here's this story. Mm-hmm. I'd had puppetry and dance under my belt, and that's how it began. Another research project, and then it was building a team, and we made the open-air show down in Boonwurrung Ma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so has she given you any, I mean, because it's a pretty big thing to be bestowed with a creation story in that sense, but has there been any other projects that you've either thought about or talked about with Annie Caroline? Or is it like, yeah, or do you want to maybe say to her, hey, Anne, is there any other stories you might want me to convey?
Well, yeah, we do have, we have made since a program called Boonwurrung Nagi, which is sort of a revival of Boonwurrung language, song and dance, which has been going out into schools within Boonwurrung boundaries, and also as a holiday program at the Arts Centre for the last 2 or 3 years. So that has been something where we've, you know, taken the stories of the Boonwurrung, of Balang the bat, which is Bunjil's brother, of Wa the crow, Iluk, eel, all kinds of creation stories and very important symbols within culture, and revive them back into song and dance or ceremony, where not only other Aboriginal kids are learning stories and song and language about country, but it's open to non-Indigenous families so that they understand a bit about the country they live and work on.
Yep. And I guess you're a queer man, and like you've talked about this Aboriginal cultural heritage and art, but I mean, do you consider yourself a queer artist, or do you do queer art?
I suppose it is part of your identity.
I mean, you're pretty camp.
I am. I'm extremely camp. I mean, Jesus. You can't help but not inject some of that part of your identity into your work. It comes out somehow. I haven't, up until now, specifically made a work that identifies itself as queer. I have now been writing a solo work that is being directed by Ilbidgeri Theatre's Associate Artistic Director, Isaac Jandich.
Isaac, yep.
Yeah, and choreographed by Bunjilung choreographer Maria Randall, called Blood on the Dance Floor, which we're working on. And that, yeah, that's addressing a lot of the kind of
queer issue. But yeah, like, actually,
because I've made a career where I think sometimes, you know, even though you're a queer artist, and the theatre is full of queers, but yet there's this pressure to sort of make heteronormative work.
Yep.
You know, for whatever reason. So this is in response to that, where I can, you know, be quite proudly gay, black, you know, pos, all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When's that? I mean, you said that you're working on that at the moment. When will that be performed?
Well, that, speaking of Melbourne Indigenous Arts Festival, look out for it in 2016 because that's where it's going to be premiered, yeah.
Yep. Mm. And how's Isaac? Because Isaac's straight. He's actually straighty 180.
Well, yeah, exactly.
He's a father now, actually. But, yeah, how's it working with Isaac?
Well, it's interesting because I thought there would be that kind of, you know, that kind of challenge trying to transfer or get a straight guy to understand where I was going with these stories. But Isaac's been great. I mean, he's been working in the theatre for so long. He's been surrounded by us queens for ages. He knows the drill. but yet it's great having a straight director because he can look at the thing and go, well, how does this relate to me?
And think about it from another perspective.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, let's get down to the nitty-gritty here. You're talking about love? Well, then let's talk about love.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's great.
Actually, no, because I think it's probably the second production he's done. We had Sean Jovren in, which is Colin Kinchela, and Gavin Walters from Sydney, and they're partners. Mm. They're queer artists, and they presented something as part of Next Wave, and Isaac directed their show, and I'm just, I was actually quite struck by, Isaac, he's a straightie. And just asked them actually on air here how that went down. But they kind of, they gave a similar response in the sense of, he offers a different perspective or makes them think about their art and their queerness in a way that, you know, they might not consider because they're so entrenched in a queer world as we tend to be, I guess,
No, it's interesting because, you know, I can come in with a script and be, you know, very blatant, political. This is what I want to say. But what, as a director, regardless of whether he's straight or gay, he's just like, well, what's the story you're wanting to tell? What's the most important part of this story? And when you get down to it, human emotions, well, they don't discriminate either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're with Lefty Pinkos on Joy 94.9. We're chatting to Jacob Bohm, and he's talking about his art, his practice, his identity, his queerness. And I want to ask him a question, Emma, like before we take a break? Or she's shaking her head here in the studio.
Why don't you want to?
Because if I ask a question, I'm just afraid I'm going to digress. we'll move on to some advertisements and another song track from Jacob. And we're actually going to get on the phone Kimberly Moulton, who is a curator at Bundjalaka, which is in the Melbourne Museum. It's the Aboriginal Cultural Centre. And Kimberly was a recipient or was involved with last year's Accelerate program. So we might get her in to have a bit of a chat about Accelerate, what she did in the UK and how she might, give a few words of advice or guidance or wisdom to Jacob, who joins us in the studio.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
That's right, you're with Joy 94.9. It's Brian, Emma, with Lefty Pinkos, and we're chatting to Jacob Bohm, a creative native, can I say that? And he's a choreographer, dancer, and he's just been announced as a wonderful recipient of the Accelerate program, which is a program of cultural exchange that's presented or funded by the British Council in the UK. They source Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander artists from Australia and take them to London to kind of learn, I guess, about institutions over there, about practice. And we've got on the line a former recipient of the Accelerate, an Accelerate placement, Kimberly Moulton. Are you there, Kimberly?
I am. Hello.
Thanks for joining us here on Joy. Now, just to give our listeners a bit of a context, I've probably written you up and I've referred to you as a cultural warrior. Does that phrase sit with you well?
Because
that's what I think.
thanks. Oh, look, it's an honour if people are, if you're referring me to that. I do what I do because I'm passionate about my culture and where I've come from. So if that makes me a cultural warrior, then I'll happily wear that title, but that's, a privilege.
Beautiful. No, because I guess you're the order. Maybe there's a bit of nepotism in that, saying that you're a cultural warrior. But you grew up in Shepparton and you currently work at the Bundjalaka Cultural Centre at the Melbourne Museum, but last year you received a placement on the Accelerate program. So just tell us, what was Accelerate like for you?
Oh, look, Accelerate was life-changing. I think you know, I went over there looking at our collections, you know, Victorian material culture in museums. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to find out, or connect with them, first of all, and I wanted to find out what relationships, you know, these curators and these institutions that have huge responsibilities, what's their relationship to this material, and how can we engage contemporary artists and community within the space of the museum, and the role that contemporary art can play within the museum, and I guess reinscribing a relevant contemporary voice of you know, our community to these objects. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty broad kind of thing, and you know, going over there and having that opportunity to connect with these objects, you know, that our ancestors have made and were taken over there hundreds of years ago, and be in these spaces was really amazing. But to, I guess, to for networking and to step away from Australia, step away from what I'm doing at Bundjalaka, and reflect on that in a really, like, completely new space. You know, you're in smack bang in the middle of London. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess that space to reflect on what I'm doing and how I can potentially, you know, bring the community involved in it as well. So it was incredible. The British Council were amazing, supportive, amazing group of people, and just the mob that I, like, travelled with as well, getting to connect with my peers, you know, travelled with Torres Strait Islanders and other Aboriginal people from around the New South Wales and Western Australia, and, yeah, it was just amazing to connect with them as well.
I guess, and yeah, like, because it's a British Council program, like, how were the Brits with, I guess, you know, indigeneity, with cultural awareness, I guess, for want of a better word? How were they like that? Were they kind of really embracing? Or, I mean, yeah, were they good in that sense? And were you able to kind of offer them something in that exchange?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I actually went over thinking, oh, maybe having my back up a little bit, and was sort of a bit worried about how it was all going to go. But when I got over there, everyone was so open to learning and hearing our stories, and excited about what we were doing, and supportive. And they were really interested in, you know, obviously our historical past, but actually what we're doing now, and the continuation of a culture that we are all practicing every day. And I just found it, yeah, really an amazing space to be in, actually, yeah.
Yeah. I guess you know Jacob Bohm, don't you? You're mates with Jacob, aren't you?
Hey, Kimberly.
Hey.
Nice work, sis.
Yeah, you too.
Do you want to maybe, like, yeah.
I was like, is that Brian?
Do you want to, like, I guess, yeah, like, Jacob's here. He's about to embark on this British Council Accelerate program journey himself, but I guess, yeah, I'd love to hear what advice you might have for Jacob. You know his work, you know his practice, you know where he's from and what he does, but yeah, how might he best maximize on this opportunity?
Well, first of all, massive congratulations.
So thank you.
Well deserved. Oh, look, I think going over there, it can be quite overwhelming. You're meeting, you know, the best of the best in your industry. You're putting yourself out there and you're trying to learn at the same time. And I would say try and enjoy the experience as much as you can. And everyone is there to help, you know, and everyone's there to support. And that was something that I really got. And all, you know, everyone that I travelled with felt the same. And I guess take opportunities. And also it's about... you know, it's about leadership, and it's about looking at that. It's also about thinking about how you can bring that to your community, but it's also about yourself. And it's okay to, you know, be excited and really think about your place within everything as well, because I think often we don't do that as, you know, working with community and working for our families and for organisations. Often we don't put ourselves first, or we don't think about ourselves in that way. So I think to do a bit of that as well is really important, and really, yeah, try and enjoy it as well as making the best of networking and seeing opportunity.
Great. No, I do. And what you said about support already rings true. I mean, we've just come back from the intensive, which you would have done, and already I get a sense that, I mean, the British Council and its contractors and employees have been so generous so far. I'm really excited about taking off in November.
Yeah, yeah. The British Council are really amazing. And also getting to travel with, you know, Mob as well. It was to connect with the people. You know, and we all have our different, all the alumni have different experiences because we've all travelled in our different groups. But yeah, that's an amazing time as well, just to connect with those fellas. And then you come back and there's also this incredible alumni of people and across Australia now that we're a part of.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I was I feel very privileged because I'm sort of standing in quite good company now, like with the likes of yourself and everybody else who's been there before. And also that the alumni, I mean, that's what I find really exciting about this opportunity as well, and how the British Council are supporting Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander artists and arts workers, because they've just announced when us recipients were announced that there's an extended kind of funding and support for the alumni through Rupert Meyer, was it, in the Australian Council?
Yeah. Yeah, so it is an ongoing thing there. They work really hard to support us ongoing after, you know, post-Accelerate, post the UK. Mm. You come back on this absolute high and, they work really hard to support you, you know, sort of ongoing. And that's what the alumni is about as well, is, you know, now, I mean, we have each other to bounce off. And I love the fact that it's so, you know, broad across the sector. Mm. You know, I'm in the visual arts and the museum, but, you know, now I have people that I can call that are in theatre and performance and arts management, and you just, you know, it all relates. So it's amazing that way.
Yeah.
Now, before we say goodbye to you, Kimberly, you're a woman that you curate the offerings at the Burrung Gallery at Bundjalaka, but I note that, and I kind of admire that you've got your finger on the pulse in the Indigenous art scene here in Melbourne, but I guess nationally. Who's hot right now?
You, Brian. You.
No. I'm not suggesting that she say that because I'm not an artist. But who's hot right now?
Actually, what I'm going to say is, you should come into and listeners come into Burrung and see who's hot right now, because we've actually got an exhibition called From Where I Stand, Place, Culture, Politics, that has 17 artists, deadly artists that are living in Victoria. That, you know, are producing amazing work. Some of them are older work, some of them are newer, but that's definitely a space where you can come and see, who's doing some really amazing things. Mm.
Beautiful. Thanks for your time tonight, Kimberly, and your advice and guidance and your reflections on Accelerate.
Thanks, Kimberly.
I think we've got to get you in sometime in the future here on Lifty Pinkos and dedicate an hour to you, because you're pretty fabulous. So, thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
You're with Lefty Pinkos on Joy 94.9. We're going to play a few announcements and then we'll be back to have some closing chats to Jacob Boehm, our special guest in here tonight.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
You're back with Lefty Pinkos on Joy 94.9. We've had Jacob Boehm in here with us tonight. So unfortunately, we've run out of time. It's gone very quickly tonight. It's been a lot of fun.
Yes.
And it's just been, hearing a bit about your background, I think your background in performance is very interesting, and I'm personally very interested in hearing about what happens with your Accelerate placement. I look forward to hearing about that down the track.
Great.
Yeah, will you come back in?
I'd love to come in and have a chat about how it went over there.
Yeah, that'd be beautiful. Now, you've chosen a shepherd song.
I know.
And no judgment, but I'm perplexed as to why they're so popular and stuff. But yeah, just why did you choose this song, Jake?
It is a very commercial choice, but it basically describes where I'm at the moment, you know. Say bombs away.
Yeah. Well, go for it. All the best for the exchange, and all the best for Accelerate, rather. You're going to have a blast in London. You've been there before, haven't you?
Briefly, but this is some good, solid, supported time, so I'm very excited.
Excellent. Well,
thank you
away,
for having
brother.
Me on.
No, it's great to have you.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.